Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were aroused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. So go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this incredible parable. I pray that today you'd be strong in my weakness. I pray that you would touch every heart, every life, every person in this room and watching online. I pray that you would move like only you can. Stir us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Change every one of us more and more into your image and likeness. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. So the context of Matthew 25 and this parable is that Jesus is cluing in his disciples about the end of the age and his return. The disciples were asking Jesus, "What's it going to be like in the last days? When will we know that you're coming again?" And Jesus gave them a great amount of information. He told them in Matthew chapter 24 that there will be earthquakes in diverse places, wars and rumors of wars, pandemics, violence. There'll be upheaval in the world. And Jesus told us that it will be like a mother who is travailing and giving birth. As she experiences more intense pain, more frequently, that is the indication that the child is on the way. And I want you to understand something this morning. As you sit in this building, Charlotte, North Carolina, 2022, there is no doubt about it that we are seeing the labor pains that Jesus described in Matthew chapter 24. We are seeing the things that were listed 2,000 years ago in the scripture, and he said they will become more intense and they will become more frequent. And as that happens, church, you should lean in and take notice that Jesus is coming again. How many of you believe that Jesus is a soon coming king? Now, what we're going to look at in this parable of the 10 bridesmaids is something that has a lot of different interpretations. And there's a lot of brilliant people who interpret this a lot of different ways. But I want to encourage you to buy like an onion. You peel it back one layer at a time. And with each layer, it gets a little bit more powerful and potent, and it ends up leaving you crying. All right. So that's a little funny. You know it is. But so you might hear this today and you say, "Well, you know, I heard it a different way." Well, the scripture is the living word, and it has the ability to speak into multiple facets of history at one time. But before we can break down the parable, you first have to understand the context of an ancient Jewish wedding ceremony, because without that back knowledge, this will not hit you like it's supposed to. So I'm going to do that really quickly for you. 2,000 years ago in ancient Israel, when they would get married, there was a time period called a betrothal. okay? And that's similar to engagement that we have today. You know, if a guy likes a woman, he proposes, they get engaged, and sometimes they're engaged for like 6 months or 3 months or like 5 years. And if you're doing it, if you're engaged for more than 5 years, you're doing it wrong. Hate to tell you, you're welcome. All the ladies should have said amen right there. So you missed your chance. But okay, betrothal was similar to an engagement, but it had one major difference. When a bride and a groom were betrothed, they were legally married. They were legally husband and wife. And listen, this was in the time period of arranged marriages. So more often than not, the bridegroom did not have an opportunity to really meet or know the bride. They likely hadn't even met each other in person, and now they're betrothed, all right? Anybody thankful arranged marriages are happening in your life? Okay, maybe some of you would like that. I don't know, based on your response. You're like, man, I wish we still had that. Okay, all the single folks said amen. Okay, but listen, when a groom would enter into a betrothal with his bride, he would immediately leave and go away to prepare a place for them to live. And likely this would take him roughly around a year, all right? And it's important that we see that there is an important parallel between these ancient Jewish ceremonies and the covenant of our salvation. When you repent of your sin and you give your life to Jesus Christ, you enter into a covenant of salvation. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. And he goes to prepare a place for us. John chapter 14, verse 3, Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That powerful. No amens, no response. Okay, tough crowd. But does this make sense? There's a betrothal period. The groom engages the bride. Then he leaves to prepare a place for her. And the groom does not just get to decide when he comes back for his bride. He has to wait until his father approves of the dwelling place that he has built for his bride. How many of you know Jesus said, "No one knows the day or the hour of my return, not even the angels in heaven, because only the Father alone knows when that day will be." Now, we will know the season of his return, but no one knows the day or the hour. So please stop believing these date setters and these people that are like, September 25th, 2023, Jesus is coming again. You can just take that, drop kick it, and rest assured, he's not coming back on that day, okay? Because nobody knows the hour. All right, but now look at this. Then when the groom is ready to come for his bride, he sends his best man into the streets and he shouts loudly, and often this happened at midnight, "The groom is coming. The groom is coming. The groom is coming." It was annoying if you were trying to sleep, but it alerted the bridesmaids that they need to get ready because the groom is on his way. In the beginning of the Gospels, we see John the Baptist, Jesus' best man, if you will. He's a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare you the way of the Lord. Jesus is coming again and his kingdom comes with him." Anybody see that parallel? It's blatantly obvious, very powerful. So as the best man cries out in the streets that the groom is on his way, the bridesmaids would quickly gather themselves. They would gather oil for their lamp because it was illegal to be out at night without a lamp or oil in the streets. And they gathered there, affirming to the groom and his best man, "This is the way. This is the way to the bride." Then when the bridegroom arrived for his bride, he would immediately take her away and they would celebrate a ceremony that would last for 7 days. How many of you would like a wedding that lasts 7 days? All the ladies said amen. My wife, Christina, if you're watching, she would have loved this. I'm glad she didn't read this before we got married, okay? But they celebrated for 7 days. And listen, when the bridal party entered into the celebration area, they would close the door and they shut it off to everybody who was late. You did not want to be tardy to this party, all right? Let me tell you. If you were late, you were going to miss out on the whole thing, all right? And then they would celebrate and rejoice for 7 days. And then the bride and groom would leave and consummate the marriage and live the rest of their life. That is the context to this parable that we read. Now, what I want to do with the help of the Holy Spirit is begin to explain this parable and unlock it before your eyes, because I truly believe the Spirit of God is speaking to his church this morning. The first thing that we've got to see is the bridegroom in the parable represents Jesus. Look at your neighbor, say, the groom is Jesus. All throughout the Old Testament, from the prophets Isaiah to Hosea, we see time and time again that God pictures his Messiah as the husband of Israel. In the New Testament, John's gospel, Matthew and Mark also portray Jesus as the groom and the church as his bride. Ephesians chapter 5 says that husbands, you should love the church like Christ loved his bride as he gave his life for her to make her holy. There's a imagery over and over again in the text. The bridegroom is Jesus. The bridesmaids, there is some debate over who the bridesmaids are. Some theologians believe the bridesmaids are the Jewish people and the wise bridesmaids are messianic Jews. They repent and trust in Christ. And the foolish bridesmaids are those who reject Christ. And I believe there's absolutely truth to that as well. But there's another revelation to who the bridesmaids are. And that is the bridesmaids represent the church of the New Testament. Look at your neighbor and say, the New Testament church are the bridesmaids. And sadly, within the New Testament church, we have those who are true Christians, true believers, but we also have those that are foolish bridesmaids who look the part, but they're not truly of it. They're in the church, not of it. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They look like they're a part of the kingdom, but their heart is far from God. And the truth is there are real believers and false believers within every church in every city all over. The five bridesmaids that were wise, they represent the true church, the remnant, those who are born again, have repented of their sin and given their life to Jesus Christ. And I believe that the oil in the lamps not only represents the Holy Spirit, but the oil in the lamps represents our faith, our faith. All of the bridesmaids had oil in their lamp at the beginning. All of us had faith at one point, but the foolish bridesmaids placed their oil, placed their faith in the wrong places. They burned up the oil. They spent it. They used it on other places and other things besides the groom himself. And they ran out. And finally, the wedding feast represents the end of the age or the return of Jesus Christ. Now, for the remaining few moments of this message, I'm going to take points and lessons right out of this text that I pray will speak to you with God's help. The first thing I want to show you is not everyone in the church is of the church. Not everybody in the church is of the church. One of the most harsh realities to this parable is that there were 10 bridesmaids and all 10 of them looked like the real thing. They were all wearing the same garments, all headed in the same direction. But the truth is, half of them were foolish and the other half were wise. There are people that are sitting in this church right now that you are in this church, but the church has never gotten inside of you. You've heard the gospel, but you've never responded to it. You've never repented. You've never given your life to Jesus. You may look like a Christian. You may look like you've got it together on the outside, but the truth is, being in the church will not be enough until the gospel gets a hold of you and transforms you from the inside out. Think of the disciple Judas. He sat with Jesus, walked with him for 3 years of his life. He literally kissed the face of salvation, yet he was an apostate and died in his sin and trespasses. You can be in here, you can worship every Sunday, you can look the part, and you can offer God lip service. But if your heart is not with him, you are not of him. I wonder, are you truly born again? Scripture says you will never see the kingdom unless you be born again. That means there has to be a change, a turning point, a transformation in your life where you no longer see the world the same way. You no longer talk the same way, dress the same way, live the same. Something changes inside of you. If you've never been changed, you've never been born again, you've never responded to him by faith, then you could be in the church, but not of it. Listen, your church attendance is not going to get you into heaven. You're not going to be able to say, well, you know, Lord, I was at Vision and I sat in the third row, you know, most Sundays I was there. Listen, you can be in here, but if the gospel doesn't transform you, it's all for nothing. I wonder, has Jesus changed your life? The foolish bridesmaids, they love the things created more than the creator himself. You see, the foolish bridesmaids, they were all about that party. They wanted to celebrate, but they were more focused on the benefits than on the groom himself. And I need you to hear me this morning. If you love anything or anybody more than you love God, that is idolatry and it is sinful. I know it's quiet today and I'm preaching another feel-good, sugar-coated sermon. I know. But welcome to Vision Church. Listen, I love you too much to just get in here and pat you on the back and tell you you're doing great, give you a cookie cutter Father's Day feel-good sermon and send you on your way. If I love me, I'll make you feel good about me and applaud me. But I love you too much to do that. I have to give you the word of God. I have to give it to you. And if you come to Vision Church, I can promise you two things. You will never leave unwarned or unprayed for. We're going to pray for you. We pray for you during the week. And we're going to warn you of the truth of God's word while you're here. The truth doesn't always feel good, but it's the only thing that has the power to set us free. It's the only thing. And scripture is telling you there's some of you that you look like the real thing, but you're a pretender, you're a poser, you're a hypocrite, you're not. I'm going to tell a story. My wife made me watch The Bachelor one time, Bachelorette. Hate to admit it, but I'm admitting it. Confess your sin to the Lord. No, just, okay. And I'll never forget, and I don't even remember which one it was, but she was like, she was talking about how she was a Christian, right? And then somebody calls her out. They're like, well, you know, Christians shouldn't be living like that. And I'll never forget her response. She said, well, you know, I know this is wrong and I know this is sinful, but God still loves me. Even though I'm doing it, I'm gonna keep doing it, but God loves me. Oh, church. And here's the thing. She's right. Here's the thing, she's right. God still loves her. But the real question is, does she love him? See, because you can justify your sin if you want to. You can be like, well, I know it's wrong, but, you know, it's just kind of my thing, but God still loves me. Yeah, okay, I get that. But the question I'm here to ask you today is, do you love him back? Oh, it's getting quiet. It's getting quiet today. And Jesus said, I'll know those who love me by those who keep my commandments. You can come in here every Sunday and you can read the lyrics off that screen. You can say, I love you. But scripture says many will call him Lord, Lord. And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. What tells me you love him is how you act, how you live. And newsflash, as a Christian, you can't do everything you want to do. You can't say everything you want to say. You can't drop kick your neighbor every time they do something crazy. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In America, we all want to be forgiven, but nobody wants to obey and submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I wonder what kind of bridesmaid are you? Are you the real thing or are you a pretender? Because you can fool me and you can fool other people, but has your heart been transformed? And while I'm here, already up in your face, the foolish bridesmaids, they love the party, man. They were all about that. They were about the social life. They were about the benefits that came from running with the church. And they were fixed on the party. They were thinking about that. They wanted to be in that party so bad that when the door was shut, they were knocking it down, trying to say, let us in, let us in. You know what this is a picture of? It's a picture of Christians that prioritize heaven over the groom. I want to ask you a question today. Is heaven your goal or is Jesus your goal? Is the after party in heaven what you're living for? Or is Jesus your goal? It's getting quiet, but I got to tell you something. If heaven is really your goal, it's like, well, you know, I'm a Christian because, you know, I want to get to heaven. You know, I believe all this stuff because I want to get to heaven. Like, look, that might be where your faith starts, but if that's where it remains, you are misguided. Because if heaven's your goal, self-preservation is your goal. But I got to tell you something. If you're aiming for heaven, you're aiming at a target too low. Because Jesus is our prize. Jesus is our reward. He is the most beautiful thing about heaven. Listen, when you get to heaven, the most beautiful thing in heaven through the eons of eternity will not be the streets of gold, the pearly gates, the emerald city. No, no, no. The most beautiful thing in heaven will be the Creator himself. He is the greatest thing heaven will ever offer you. He is our prize. He is our reward. And you don't have to die to get him. You can find him in a relationship right here and right now. You can be known by him. You can know him through prayer, intercession, his word, and the fellowship of the saints. I wonder, is Jesus your goal? Because if not, he should be. And I don't shame you, but I say to you today, make Jesus your prize. Don't be a foolish bridesmaid, just living for the party, living for heaven. No, 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 no. He is the reward. Is this making sense to anybody today? It would be on my hands. Can't do it. Cannot do it. You know what the enemy does? The five foolish bridesmaids, they're tare among the wheat. Let me phrase it this way. You know, Satan doesn't want to destroy the church from the outside in. He wants to destroy it from the inside out. You see, we're all worried about Washington and Raleigh and all this stuff, but let me tell you something. You know how Satan really wants to influence the church? His plan is not to bulldoze it, destroy it from the outside. It's far more insidious than that. He wants to infiltrate the church. He wants to plant false believers beside true believers, fake Christians from real Christians. That's what he wants to do. And Jesus told you this plainly in the parable of the evil farmer. He came to the good field and he started to sow weeds among the wheat, tare among the wheat. Satan's plan, he wants to put hypocrites right in here, so that it mars the image of Christ to a lost and dying world. He wants to rob the world of its confidence in the church and in God's word by pointing to hypocritical Christians and saying, they're no different than we are. Do you see this? The five foolish bridesmaids, they looked like they belonged, but they were not the real thing. Their hearts were never truly repentant. They were never truly born again. They were imposters. And today, Satan's plan is he wants to sow tare among the wheat to tarnish the reputation and to dim the light of the church, which is the hope of the world. Can I tell you something about the wheat and the tare real quick? The most insidious and dangerous thing about it is that the wheat and the tare look identical until it's time for harvest. You can't tell them apart. And the tare, all it does is it robs the soil of its nutrients and its goodness. It robs the wheat and weakens its testimony, weakens its fruitfulness. That's Satan's plan for the church. I wonder, are you truly born again? Do you really love Jesus? And are you really willing to follow him? Listen, being born again does not mean you're going to be perfect. Okay? I'm not perfect. Far from it. Call up my wife. She will tell you I'm far from it. But a born again person, here's the difference. When we sin, when we fail, we get back up again. We repent and we pursue Jesus Christ, forsaking the past and leaving it behind. Can I help hypocrite proof your life? You ready? No response. Tough crowd. Y'all tough, man. Normally 10, you're a little, you have a little more fun with me. That's okay. You ready? Because the number one knock on the world towards the church is a bunch of hypocrites, right? You heard that. The only way, the way to hypocrite proof your life is this. When you sin, admit it. When you fall, admit it. And repent, get back up, and press on towards the prize that is Jesus Christ. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're of the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember, for that 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Church, really quickly, there's not only imposter believers in every church, there are also imposter pastors and fake churches. I'm just gonna pull up in your driveway now. So please hear me. Just because somebody has a degree or a title or a following or a building, that does not validate that their message is from God. Scripture tells us that even false prophets will have a massive following. The enemy doesn't just want to raise up fake Christians in the church. He wants to prop up fake pastors and fake churches too that lead many astray. And did you read it? It says that these false teachers, they will elevate themselves and they'll draw the disciples, not to Jesus, but to themselves. Look how gifted I am. Look how anointed I am. Look how awesome I am. Let me tell you something. The spirit of arrogance is the furthest thing from the spirit of God that there could ever be. You want to know, is a man, a woman, a minister, are they truly from God? You need to find out this. Do you walk and live in humility? Because if they're pointing people to themselves, run for the hills, homie. Please hear me. And I'm just going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this right now. I want to challenge every one of you, when you come to Vision Church, bring your Bible. Bring it. I'm not Bible shaming you today, but just bring your Bible. Because here's why. If I ever preach something to you and I can't back it up or point it to the scripture, don't believe me either. Fair? It's about Christ. We must decrease that he may increase. Do not be deceived. Look at the fruit of their life. And I'm sorry, the sugar-coated preaching, the self-help stuff, it's sinful. And I'm just going to get right up in your face. Here I am. You know what a wolf in sheep's clothing really does? There, you know, when we hear wolf in sheep's clothing or false teacher, we envision somebody that's evil, sadistic, like angry coming out. No. They're the affirming, tolerant. It's okay. It's not really a sin. The sugar-coated, compromising Christianity, those are the wolves in sheep's clothing. Because see, evil never wants to appear evil. Evil wants to appear good and like light, and that this is the more informed way of Christianity. Be careful. Be careful. But you know what? There are some good bridesmaids out there. There are some real Christians in every corner and crevice of this planet. There are some real Christians in this church who love the Lord with all their heart, all their mind, and all their soul. There are some real Christians that are not going to compromise God's word based on the next trend, fad, or feeling. There are some real Christians who are going to be committed to praying, who are going to be committed to serving the Lord and being faithful with all of their life. There is a real remnant that is the hope of the world in bodily form on earth. The real thing is here too. I don't have much time left because I've been just going off out here, but it's all right. Don't put your faith in the wrong places. Remember, the oil represents faith, and the foolish bridesmaids were putting their oil, their faith, they were spending it in the wrong places. Just a real high level, just Cliff Notes version of this point is simply this. The ancient Jewish believers and even early Gentiles, they had been converted to Christianity, and then false teachers were coming around saying, oh yeah, Jesus saves. But remember, Jesus was a Jew, and Jews live by the law and obedience, and that's what actually really makes you righteous. So it's Jesus plus your good works. It's Jesus plus you doing all these things. That's what makes you acceptable before God. And those were the foolish bridesmaids who were placing their faith in the law and in works, not in grace and in faith. So what I need you to hear me about today, the thing that distinguishes a wise bridesmaid from a foolish bridesmaid is the foolish ones were placing their faith in themselves. They were placing their faith in their own good works and goodness. They were saying, I'm going to be right with God because I'm a good person. I live by the law. I'm better than my neighbor. But I need you to hear me right now. You are placing your faith in the wrong place, and it will run out and leave you empty and exposed. Because scripture tells us that none of us are truly righteous, and even our righteousness is like filthy rags before God. Your goodness will never be good enough to earn a relationship with Christ and have heaven. It will never be good enough. Do you hear me? Like, it will never be enough. We are saved by grace through faith alone. Jesus plus nothing is everything. It's Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, one of the scariest verses in the Bible says this: not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter heaven. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. That scripture in Matthew 7 should alarm all of us. But listen, look, you have to see this in its proper context. Matthew 7, on the day of judgment, the wicked person is saying to God, look at what I have done for you. They're saying, I cast out the demons in your name. I prayed for the sick and they recovered. I prophesied and preached in your name. What are they doing? They're placing their faith in the wrong place. They're placing their faith in their works. They're saying, look what I did for you. Look how good I am. I deserve heaven. No, you do not. None of us deserve heaven. Heaven is not a reward for the righteous. It is a free gift to sinners that none of us should boast about it. We're not saved by our performance. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Does this make any sense to anybody today? That's what distinguishes the real thing from the fake. But I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to just tell you like it is. Because I came at you hot and heavy at the beginning about, you know, you talking about Jesus, but you don't live like it. It's not your works that saves you. But here's the truth. People that are truly born again, their actions follow what they say they believe in. If you really believe it, you will live it. If you're really born again, your life will really change. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but it means that you're going to be a little bit more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. And you're going to have a desire to live that way, a desire to please God, not men. We don't do good things to be saved. We do good things because we are saved. But at some point, our life has to start matching what we're preaching. Ephesians 2:8, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. The overarching bold takeaway from the bridesmaid's parable is that Jesus is coming again. And will you be found ready? Look at your neighbor, tell him Jesus is coming again. Will you be ready? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you repented of your sin? Are you trusting in him? Are you following him? Are you living after him? Are you living for yourself? Everybody in America wants to be forgiven for the consequences of their sin, but very few want to actually follow him as the Lord of their life. He is not just Savior or Lord. He is Savior and Lord. We got to stay ready. Can I show you one more thing? Two things real fast. I'm going to slide two things in real fast. Number one, once that door closes, that's it. The bridesmaids, once the celebration began and the door was locked, that was it. There are no second chances. Listen, universalists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, false teachers try to say, well, you know, even after you die, everybody will be given a second chance. No, you won't. That's lies. That's heresy. It's false doctrine. Scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Once you draw your last breath, that's it. There's no going back. There's no second chances. Come to the Lord today while he may be found. Draw near to him right now. Come to him as you are. As long as there's life in your body, breath in your lungs, God wants to receive you just as you are. He loves you so much. He wants to change you more and more into his image and likeness. Come to him now. Because there's a moment that it will be too late. And the last thing I want you to see in this, really quickly, just to reemphasize the former point. All 10 bridesmaids were found sleeping when the groom arrived. All 10. Sometimes we read this parable and we're like, oh, the foolish ones were asleep, but the wise ones were awake. No, they weren't. Look at the scripture again. All 10 were asleep. You know what this is saying to you? The scripture is saying not any of the bridesmaids were worthy. None of them were deserving in and of themselves to enter into his banquet. None of us deserve salvation. None of us could earn it. We've all slumbered and slept and fallen short of the glory of God. But if you will call on the name of the Lord, he will answer you. He will save you. He will call you his own, washing your sins white as snow. Anybody believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ today as the power to change lives? Pray with me now all over this place. Father, we come to you in Jesus' mighty name, and we rejoice in your word. And I ask you, Lord, for forgiveness. We repent of our sin. We confess and admit to you, Lord, there have been times in our life where we've gone through the motions, times in our life where we've been selfish and hypocritical. But Lord, I pray that today you would continue to change my heart, change my desires. Help me to love what you love. Help me to serve you and follow you all the days of my life. I believe, Father, that 2,000 years ago, you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a Virgin Mary, to live a life that was sinless. He performed the miraculous. He climbed up on the cross, though he was innocent. He took my place in death. He became my sin so that I could be called the righteousness of God in him. 3 days later, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. He rose in triumph and victory. He is the resurrection and the life. And because he lives, I have a blessed assurance, a holy confidence that he can save me too, and that I'll be united with him again. Father, forgive me for loving the things of this world more than you. Today, I restore you to your rightful place. You are God Most High. You are my prize. You are my reward. I'm not living for heaven. I'm living for you today, right here, and right now. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you pray that prayer with me today for the first time or as a recommitment of your life, I want you at the count of three to stand boldly to your feet. I'm not going to embarrass you, but scripture tells us this. that if you would confess him as Lord, you would acknowledge him on earth, he will acknowledge you in heaven. This is not a secret faith. It's nothing on the side. If you're going to be ashamed of Jesus here, you'll never live for him out there. I'm giving you an opportunity to stand and receive him if you're physically able. One, two, three. Is there anybody today that you say, that's me? This morning in our 8:30 service, two precious people stood to give their life to Jesus Christ. Let's pray as we dismiss. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for every single heart and life in this room. Bless them, keep them, and may your face shine upon them. We love you, Lord. Help us to go and be effective witnesses in the earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. We love you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.